We rejoiced in the risen Lord during Easter Vigil and Easter morning. For Jesus has truly risen, alive and well in our hearts and souls. He defeated the evil ways of the world, and our sins have been forgiven. As if his human and divine works last week weren't enough, Jesus' mission is not yet complete before ascending to the Father. Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and some apostles had seen the empty tomb, but did not fully believe in the resurrection. Just prior to today's gospel, the risen Lord appears to Mary Magdalene, and she believes because she sees him, rushing off to the apostles, "I have seen the Lord." That same evening, Jesus appears before the sequestered apostles in the upper room, bringing his light into their world of darkness, as they sit behind locked doors, fearful of the Jews. He tells them, "Peace be with you." The presence of his wounds is significant, indicating to them the body resurrected to glory is the same one from the cross. As St. Paul tells us, the natural body is transfigured into a glorified spiritual body. The apostles, who were once in a state of grief, hopelessness, anxiousness, and in fear, now rejoice with the Lord because truly they believe in him. Jesus says to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." John tells us, when he had said this, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and those you retain are retained." This act of the risen Jesus connects the Holy Spirit with the church's power to forgive sins. The fellowship of Jesus' disciples in the church are now the extension of the work of the Father and the Son in the world. With the institution of the Sacrament of Penance, Pope Leo XIII explains how Christ transferred his mission to the apostles. The same mission and mandate which Jesus had received from the Father that the apostles now perpetuate. Christ sends his apostles in virtue of the same power by which he had been sent by the Father, charging them to spread abroad and promote their teachings for those obeying the apostles, that they might be saved. The apostles now are ambassadors of Christ, as he was an ambassador of the Father. This transfer of power fulfills our first reading in Acts. What great power the apostles bore to the resurrection of the Lord, and great favor was accorded to them. Following in Psalms, "His love is everlasting, and mercy endures forever." From an emotional high moment of being in the presence of the resurrected Lord and receiving the Holy Spirit upon them, later comes along Thomas, called Didymus, not one to believe them until he sees Christ himself. And for all the signs, healings, the miracles that he had witnessed with Jesus in the past, he lacks belief. A week later, Jesus appears again to them and calls out Thomas to witness his concern. Thomas responds. Then Jesus proclaims, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Jesus would continue to do other signs for the disciples to grow their conviction for the mission that will lie ahead of them. St. Gregory the Great, in addressing this issue, states, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen." Those that are seen is not faith, but an experience. Thomas saw one thing, but came to believe another. Mortal man cannot see divinity, but like the other disciples, needed the grace of God to believe. Jesus is preparing his apostles, the other disciples and followers, to bring the word of God to the world before he ascends. To help them better understand their mission, he continually prepares them for the journey ahead, which will begin at Pentecost. We must be mindful of the mission of the first disciples, because it's also our mission as disciples and faithful followers of Christ. We too were baptized into the life of Christ and share in the responsibilities in evangelizing our corner of the world. Bishop Robert Gruss comments, like the first disciples, we too were born for this moment. It's no accident, it's no coincidence that each of us were born for this time in the church and sent on mission with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We witness the scars on the hands, the feet, and the side of Jesus as our commission from the risen Christ to heal the scars of daily life that we find in the needy, the hungry, the downtrodden, and those less fortunate. To bring hope and promise for those who can no longer feel it. To reach out in mercy, bringing hope to fruition through our time, talents, and treasures. St. Augustine says, mercy is heartfelt sympathy for another's distress, which implores us to act. A few years ago, while in New York City, we were eating at a Shake Shack restaurant, and outside a homeless man was sitting on the cold concrete sidewalk with a sign stating, "Do you even see me sitting here?" For me, it really hit home. Do you really see me sitting here? I've asked myself regularly since then, how do I show mercy for others? How can I be like Christ for others? Have I done my homework and donated enough to the proper charities? Do I donate my time in the community as well as my church? Sometimes just the gift of time spent with someone will mean all the world to them. A good example of parish involvement this weekend was the parishioners from St. Joe supporting the Feed My Starving Children program, along with other church volunteers, as together we packed meals for the less fortunate to be distributed to over 70 sites worldwide. The disciples in each of us are given the tools we need by the Holy Spirit, along with grace, for our lifelong mission of loving God first and then our neighbor as self, putting the needs of others before our own. As we answer his call to evangelize, disciples ourselves, may we live holy lives for Christ as our renewed and grace-filled mission with the risen Lord begins today. As Pope John Paul II said it best, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song.